Welcome, one and all, console war veterans and civilian noobs, to the 28th episode of the Green vs. Blue podcast. This week's topic, Robots Take Over, Part 3, the end, or the beginning, whichever it really is. We are your hosts,
SD Dog,
and PlayStation Pat Fennel,
and
Matthew Rottenberg.
Green vs. Blue is a podcast where we, your hosts, discuss the two best gaming platforms, Xbox and PlayStation, with this week a little spice of the red.
The spice.
Nintendo. Green vs. Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast service. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/greenversusblue. That's patreon.com/greenvsblue. Huge shout out to our existing Patreon supporters. If you have a burning question or comment about today's show, reach out to us directly at psboxcast@gmail.com. That's psboxcast@gmail.com. Dave, where can we find you directly on the internet?
Check me out on the interwebs, on YouTube at SDDog, or my gamer tag at SDDog. That's spelled SDDAWG. Pat.
You can find me on Twitch and YouTube at Variety Pat. That's VarietyPat. Or on Instagram at PlayStation Pat. Matt, what about you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Lonely Cubone.
What do you do over there at Lonely Cubone?
So, on my Instagram, I mainly post about Pokemon cards, Pokemon-related topics, sometimes anime, sometimes Nintendo-y stuff. Come give me a follow and check me out.
Thank you, sir. Fun stuff.
All right, let's move into our first segment of the show, everyone. It's called Retroscope, and it's a segment where we, you know, we make corrections, if necessary, of course, follow-ups on interesting news bits from prior episodes, and this week, just want to give a huge, huge shout-out to everyone who participated in our series of giveaways that we did for Halo Infinite DLC. I think this really, you know, helped to boost the listenership of our show.
Yes, sirree.
I think I really just want to give a shout out to, you know, everyone who tuned in because of it from our Halo community. You know, just keeping in touch with you guys. It feels really genuine and it feels like we've cultivated, you know, a relationship here. So I really appreciate you guys checking out, even if it was just for the giveaways. But speaking of Halo giveaways, I want to follow up on this Master Chief Collection digital giveaway that we've been talking about this whole time. Big congrats to Gabriel Hernandez from Bloomington, Indiana.
Thank you, Gabriel. What up? Congrats, sir.
Enjoy that content. We put everyone's name in a spreadsheet and use the random number generator to pick the lucky winner. Gabriel, we have already reached out by email, so go check your inbox, check your spam box, and congrats.
Hope to see Pat. You in Halo, sir. Well, you'll be mostly seeing David, but
yeah, you'll be seeing the bullets that I'm shooting at you.
Woo.
Pat, what else we got here?
Well, Dave, I just want to give a little follow-up. Last week, we were talking about some movies. I think we had a fantastic conversation about some great and not so great video game films, and at the end, I mentioned that I had started watching the lovely film Rampage, and Dave, it was actually a really good, decent movie.
Rampage?
Yeah. Had a bunch of corny dialogue, but like it seemed like The Rock, the lead, and all the rest of the actors knew it and played it fittingly. And they stayed true to the, like, super ecstatic, frantic, fast mood of the game, which, you know, good to stay in the same vibe and mindset. But last but not least, I thought the story was pretty reasonable, given a suspension of belief for what it was and the popcorn flick that it is. So, Rampage, worth checking out.
Cool, cool, cool.
Cool.
So, Pat, that's it for Retroscope, but let's move into games this week. Pat, take it away.
Matt, what did you play this week? Because we were playing some of the same thing.
So what took up most of the time for me this week was actually Pokemon Go. They had their little event. I know you and everyone else was kind of jumping in on that.
Yes, sirree.
I was in Balboa Park for like 8 to 10 hours just straight out playing this game.
Dang.
I met a ton of cool people, so that was awesome. I've been playing some Pokemon Sword and Shield. I've been playing Little Animal Crossing. I bought that for my girlfriend a while ago.
Oh, and nice.
She was like, you gotta get it. It's a good one. She definitely likes it a little more than me, but she's gonna get me invested, I guess.
Have you picked a theme for your island?
She's picking my theme. She's pretty much, it's the name of the game. It's mine, but realistically it's all hers, and every decision made on this island is in her favor.
Copy that. Yeah, I also was doing the big Pokemon Go Kanto event this last weekend on Saturday, February 20th. The big annual event that Pokemon Go seems to put on every year now. And was down at Fisherman's Wharf, Pier 39, hitting all the piers in San Francisco. My big takeaway for the weekend was a shiny Kangaskhan from a raid. The Australia, normally what would be the Australia regional, so I was really happy about that. And then I also really got into Pokemon Sword this last week, so not too much PlayStation,
conversion. That's okay. It's a kind of a Nintendo bent week, you know.
Sure, but I haven't played or been into a Pokemon mainline game that much since the Pearl. So that was really nice. And then besides that, I tried getting on COD Warzone and I tried getting on Rocket League, but I was stuck in update hell for the nights that I was trying to play those. So that was a bummer, but we'll get around to that next week. Dave, what do you got?
Guess what I've been playing, Pat.
Oh, you got to tell me. Tell the listeners.
No, I'm actually, I put a pretty big dent into the Halo 5 grind.
Yes.
I put like a million, I got like a million XP this week or something crazy.
Ooh.
It's went hard. Stuff. So I'm still at the Halo 5 grind. Yeah, everyone knows me by now, everyone out there. Yeah. That's about it for me. Yeah. Aside from that, let's talk about some new games that are on our respective consoles.
Here we go.
And our platforms. So, Pat, do you want me to go first?
Let me start, because I got some that are coming to both consoles, and then I'll pass it to you.
All right.
And then we'll jump back.
All right.
So, first off, we got the Blizzard Arcade Collection. That includes Lost Vikings, Rock'n Roll Racing, Blackthorn, all games originally released between 93 and 95. The collection includes all different emulated versions, new four-player matches and other features. And then we also got clan-based dungeon crawler RPG Gods Will Fall. This actually looked pretty cool for a sort of indie dungeon crawler game, worth checking out. And last but not least, Overwatch Clone Paladins has arrived and is free to play on all the consoles. All those games are coming to all the consoles this week, and pretty noteworthy. Dave, what's coming over to Xbox?
Yeah, we got a few things that were announced for Game Pass toward the end of this month. So by the time you listen to this, you'll probably be able to play. We have a game that we've talked about before that I think you might have a better idea what it is, Pat. Killer Queen Black, coming back.
The original 8 to 10 player arcade game.
Yeah. That one's coming back apparently on cloud and console February 23rd. And then we also have Dirt 5, which is a racing game, on 25th of February as well, cloud and console. And then we also have Elite Dangerous, which I have no idea what that game is, also on the 25th, coming to console. And then finally, Pat and Matt, I think have we all played this? Super Hot Mind Control Delete. I would assume this is like a DLC or something on PC on the 25th of February.
Super hot.
Yeah, I've only played the VR version, but I think we've all played an iteration of it.
Yeah, that's what we got. Jump on in.
Cool stuff.
Play those. Pat, we got a PlayStation.
PlayStation Persona 5 Strikers has arrived this week. The big hack and slash spinoff game of the lovely Persona 5. And protagonist Joker and friends in this one are on a road trip across Japan. The dungeons are now city-sized, which is pretty cool, but you're going to be going through them a lot faster as you're hacking slashing your way through. Next up, the Trilogy of Life RPGs comes to an end this week. We get Game Dev Story. 2 weeks ago, we had a prison building simulator game. Last week, we went to a relaxing reformation in a spa. And now, we go to a prestigious job at a game developer. So check out Game Dev Story. PC classic. It's been out for a while, but it's $14 on PlayStation this week.
That sounds super meta, that game.
I think it's super meta that I somehow turned it into a trilogy of simulation games in the last 3 weeks.
Super meta. Super meta.
How do we turn it even more meta with a video game about this? Maybe that's the DLC for Game Dev Story, is you have like podcasts and marketing about your game.
But only after you buy the game.
There's a game that's like reviewing the development of games.
Mm.
That is the game.
There you go, Matt. There we go. Thanks. Last but not least, you know what it is. Dave, do you want to read it in for me?
Yep. Get ready, everyone. Because this game is PlayStation Bets. PlayStation Pick of the Week.
Dang. Thank you, sir. This week, I'm giving a little shine to some of my kinfolk from Irish developer Fogwares Ireland Limited. Comes the AA, third-person, Lovecraftian mystery horror, The Sinking City. This one's a subtle, classical horror-style game. I really think it's worth checking out. Kind of story-driven, right up my alley, and I'm not so much a fan of the gory new style stuff, but I can love a classical horror story. The Sinking City. Check it out, people.
Cool. That's been
PlayStation Bats. PlayStation Pick of the Week.
Boom. Let's move it on.
Cool. All right, so that wraps it up for games this week, everyone. But before we get into cross-examination, I don't think we've really introduced Matt here properly. So, Matt, why are you here? Tell the viewers. You know, why... Who are you? Who's the man behind the curtain?
So, I am Matthew. I'm a video gamer, a nerd, a lot of different things. But I am here, I guess, to represent a little bit of Nintendo this week, and more so the Pokemon side of things.
That's right, that's right. Good. All right, now that we have that out of the way, you can shut up. Just kidding. All right, so for listeners old and new, Cross-Examination is a segment where we take big relevant news about Xbox and PlayStation, and this week we'll make an exception for Nintendo. When they all intersect with each other in the gaming world, so after that, we then debate, speculate, or create a discussion of our own, which fosters good discourse. Pat! Matt! Take cover! The bots are back!
The cyborgs.
Yeah. So this time, they're not only taking our sneakers, our coveted next-gen consoles. No, they're taking our Happy Meals.
Oh my God, it's so true though.
So last week or so, there have been some entertaining bits of news that kind of follows up our first two episodes on scalpers and bots. Go check those out if you're interested in that topic. So they're becoming more and more of a problem in the gaming realm, if you haven't noticed. Fellas, first and foremost, let's address the fact that TechRadar reported a few weeks ago that, quote, analysis reveals scalpers managed to snatch 10 to 15% of all consoles in regards to the new PS5s in the United States. On top of that, they also report that, quote, PS5 scalpers want you to feel sorry for them, and yes, they're being serious. End quote. And that was a separate headline. But apparently some representative of a scalper group in the UK came out of the woodworks trying to justify their behavior by likening scalpers to a valuable middleman, quote unquote, type role. So, you know, like kind of like a farmer who sells dairy to grocery chains. That's literally what they were comparing themselves to. Because, of course, that's the same exact thing. You know, when we go to buy a console, you know, we always need a middleman to help us get that console. Mm. So, needless to say, scalping culture has been as bold and brazen as ever. Now, not even our Happy Meals are safe. The McDonald's slash Pokemon 25th anniversary collaboration has been under attack. So, for any of you know, Matt, I'll let you describe to the viewers what our Happy Meal Pokemon collaboration is going. Like, what is that really? Because I briefly know what it is, and I looked it up, you know, some articles about it. But I'm assuming you've been to McDonald's recently.
Yeah, so I've had McDonald's maybe like 5 out of 5 days this week.
Nice.
I'm not one of those guys that like buys 1,000 Happy Meals. So pretty much what it is McDonald's has had this agreement with Pokemon for a while where they give Happy Meals and you normally get a card or something along with a toy. This year it's pretty much just cards. So you get a pack of cards with every Happy Meal with a little bonus like a frame or a deck box or something like that. And people are just going nuts. So a lot of people have been reporting that they're getting like 20, 30 of these Happy Meal boxes and just, you know, practically throwing the food away and keeping the cards and then figuring they can try and sell the card packs for like $60 a pack, even though they're spending $3 on this Happy Meal.
So yeah, it's a pretty messed up situation. So I guess I'll just quote IGN real quick. They reported on this horrible scalping situation that's going on with Pokemon cards in Happy Meals. So they said that, quote, the commemorative Pokemon cards, which are only supposed to be attainable when customers buy a McDonald's Happy Meal, were being purchased in bulk by scalpers and sold for ridiculously high sums online. In some instances, full boxes of the packs were being posted on sites, including eBay, for over $1,500 US, end quote. I was telling the listeners, and you were telling the listeners who you are. I think, Matt, what's your full take on what's going on? Like, I know we've all grown up with Pokemon. We're all kind of the same age. But I feel like you might have a better insight as to, like, how crazy is this? Because we've lived through a few Pokemon phenomenons, like the initial trading card phenomenon when we were, like, 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. The Pokemon Go phenomenon. And I feel like this is kind of another example of that, like, how bad has scalping been in the Pokemon world from your perspective?
Yeah, so within the past, I don't know, handful of months, like half a year, it's just been ridiculous. So a lot of these big YouTubers and TikTokers and Instagrammers have been going crazy for Pokemon cards, and they're just kind of getting their group of friends, and they're just spouting out random numbers for these cards' values. And all these idiot people that are like, oh my gosh, like, this card that I have is worth $10,000, when in actuality, most of the time, it's a 10-cent card. So it's crazy, you know, we have all these people that are on unemployment, and they're able to just go to stores, listen to these TikTokers or YouTubers, grab all of the Pokemon cards, and sell them to people that just don't know better, which kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm a collector. I get the aspect of, like, buying and selling. I resell a lot of my cards, but to this extent, it's just ridiculous, and it defeats the whole purpose of the collecting. Mm-hmm. It's more so just an investment, what people are doing to make money rather than enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So would you say this is pretty, like, this is the most egregious you've seen in recent memory for, like, taking Pokemon cards from, like, the intended audience, which would be kids?
Oh, yeah. It's been ridiculous. I took advantage of it for a little bit. I was selling off some of my collection, and I had these people that were spending literally thousands of dollars on cards I was buying for $40 weeks before, and they just had money, and it's kind of sad, but I called them like my whale. They're my money whale, because they would just spend these ridiculous amounts on cards and figure they don't know what they're doing, but if they're literally handing me wads of cash for cards, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is too bad. I'm not out there scalping stuff. If I'm buying stuff, I'm opening it. It's too bad because it's taken away from a lot of the kids. Pokemon has recently released a statement saying that they're going to re-release a lot of the stuff in just huge quantities. So hopefully this makes the scalpers like, okay, we've already put $10,000 into all this product. We aren't moving it anymore because they just keep printing it. People can go to the stores, hopefully, and just buy this stuff for retail value rather than going to a guy on OfferUp and buying it for literally 3-4 times what the stores are selling it for.
Mm. Pat, what do you feel about all this whole thing?
Well, of course, I haven't talked about it too much on this show, but I have very much gotten back into Pokemon in the last year or so. My interest has, of course, waned through the years, but it's definitely reached a new peak that it hasn't been to in the last decade. But that being said, I tried buying a Happy Meal with one of these Pokemon card packs. And the most interesting thing I thought, and partially fueling this craze, and I'm still wondering why, the sneaker and streetwear resale site StockX is adding collectibles like Pokemon cards and boxes of cards and groups of them. And the day after these McDonald's sets were first released, there were options on StockX to buy 20, 30 in one group of these promo cards. And it just seems to be this vicious cycle that, as Matt was alluding to, people are unemployed and have extra time. If they're getting an unemployment check, maybe some people have extra money to burn or are trying to quadruple their unemployment check by reselling cards. But I think it's just a vicious cycle we're in at this point. And as Matt was saying, once we get to the point where the Pokemon company has now released all these cards that they said they intend to reprint, the value on the cards that people think they're getting right now is gonna completely bottom out. And I've gotten the impression that a lot of people think you can go to the store, buy a new pack of cards, and you're going to be pulling a $600,000 to $600,000 Charizard card or something. Mm-hmm. People aren't being realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's this big, like, disparage. You know, the people who are buying the cards are typically, you know, these super young kids, and a lot of them are just watch YouTubers and TikTokers all day long, and they're like, oh, I can get rich too if I just go buy a Pokemon card or whatever pack. There's like that side of things, and then there's like the super cynical, you know, millennials who grew up on Pokemon. They know how much these cards are. In some instances, I like literally looked online on the IGN article, and it showed like a picture of like just a case of these Happy Meal items, like not even opened, and they were being listed online. It's like the managers of these McDonald's are putting them online. They're just not even putting them in the stores because they're like, oh, I can make money off this. Like, it's such a weird, I don't know. This wouldn't have happened 25 years ago, but I think it's just like our generation and under are kind of, it's just this weird thing that's kind of propelling like the whole scalper situation that we've been seeing, like with this, and then also with like consoles and sneakers, streetwear.
Honestly, I think it's the first sign that the market is not as healthy as people or the stock market makes it seem. I've gotten the impression at this point that, yeah, there are collectors who are being forced to go when the cards are restocked if they want to get any, because the cards sell out in an hour. But a lot of the people that are swooping up and scalping the cards seem to be either young people that, you know, statistically don't have high paying jobs, and then a lot of seemingly unemployed and poor folks in their 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't really know the solution to this, but I guess we can kind of tie the discussion back to like PlayStation, Xbox. You know, I think this does pertain to what's going on with the consoles. I think this is just a symptom of, like, you know, the scalping culture. I think it's permeating a lot of different things, and this is just the latest example. But there was like a recent article I pulled up here as well from, I think it was The Verge. Yeah, The Verge. So it was basically talking about John Carmack, who's the co-founder of id Software. So, you know, he's a prominent dude in the gaming world. He made a comment about scalping and how to mitigate that, maybe his proposed solution. And I think it's a pretty controversial take, so I'll just quote him. He said, "We really would be better off with a transparent auction system directly from the manufacturers in a more efficient market," end quote. So basically what he's saying in regards to like Xbox, PlayStation is suggesting that companies like Sony and Microsoft essentially become the scalpers. They scalp their own product. So like they would just say like, all right, we have this limited amount of Series X. We have this limited amount of PS5s. Have at it. Auction, whatever the highest price is, that's it. And then that would, and I would agree, that would terminate the scalping market. But I don't know if that's a solution. And I was going to pose that question to you guys. Like, is that the solution? Is it? Because to me, that seems super controversial.
I think one big thing that I think of is like, one of the main differences between like Pokemon cards and like gaming consoles in this situation is the ability to reproduce them, or like produce them, I guess. With Pokemon cards, of course, they have licenses and agreements to how much they can print. But, you know, I feel like in situations like this, it should be something where they can work it out a little easier to get the reprints and everything like that. With gaming consoles, I feel like Xbox and PlayStation, well, they should have possibly done a better job at like knowing what was going to happen. You know, you guys have talked about this for a while and how they've had these different things where they had like anti-bot securities, but they should have known how much of that was going to happen to a point, mm-hmm. and been able to like fight back, been like, hey, we have double the amount on release day that we were going to have, you know. And I think that would have combated it. Just really build up the consoles and how much you're going to release, knowing they're going to be so strict.
Yeah, I get that. Like, they should have maybe foreseen that, like, hey, this is going to be a pretty big console launch. But I think that it was kind of hard for them due to, like, supply constraints and, like, getting the amount of chips that they need. Because right now we're still in this... And this is kind of, like, the reason why we're talking about Pokemon cards, because we're still waiting on more consoles to come out because there's no chips, you know? So... I think there's only a certain amount of things they could have done to like brace for impact, but I don't think they would have, no way they foresaw the amount of like scalping that would happen online due to the pandemic.
Do you think they should have pushed it back a year?
I like what we were going back and saying in our earliest episodes, Pat, we were talking about how I'm like, dude, just delay it a year. Like, I think it will just work out better for them, and maybe they're financially okay, but in terms of brand image for these companies, they're not looking the best. Like, it's just really hard right now to get a console, and Sony and Microsoft kind of, I wouldn't say they look like the bad guys, but they're definitely not doing anything to help the scalping situation, and it's definitely pissing a lot of people off. So
I think you are probably right that if one of the companies had seeded the hill per se of November 2020, they would have probably come out on top and could have come out a lot stronger if these consoles had been delayed. But who knows what the financials looks like.
Yeah, hindsight 2020. Anyways, yeah, I don't know if this is the way.
Show me the way.
Do you know the way? Yeah, I don't.
I kind of like the auction idea, honestly.
I think I would totally agree with it, but I know for a fact Sony and Microsoft wouldn't do it because they would be directly the bad guy. Like, they would be the good guy in the long run. Like, you know, they would get rid of the scalping market, but they would be, that would hurt their brand so much if they were to become the scalpers.
See, really quick though, but if they had that auction, what if the scalpers just bought all of them at the super high auction point and then just sold them higher?
I don't think anyone would buy it at that point. If the prices get up to like $1,000 on like the actual Microsoft store, they're like, okay, the price of the Xbox is $1,000 now, and then scalpers put it up for like $3,000. I don't see it getting to the point where people are shelling out $3,000 or $4,000 for an Xbox. I think that would effectively like dissipate the scalping market if everyone went on board. It would have to be Microsoft, Sony, like graphics card companies. It would have to be Nintendo. I think it said that in an article, everyone would have to band together, and I don't think that's the solution.
If the demand for the console was actually $1,000, like that high, then the scalpers wouldn't have any. They'd be all gone. I think a direct auction, like maybe if it went up to $700, like maybe that's the cutoff point where a lot of people are like, yeah, that's kind of how much I'm willing to spend. And maybe Sony sells out at $700, but it would immediately eliminate the scalpers for the most part. Like, there's no way people would be shelving out $3,000 after somebody could have put $3,000 in the Microsoft auction or Sony auction if that was how much they felt they wanted to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've thought about is, at what point do we stop blaming the companies? Now, this is kind of a hypothetical, like devil's advocate type thing. When do we stop blaming the companies for not necessarily stopping the scalpers and start blaming the people that are buying them?
What are you getting at?
I think one of the main reasons people are continuing to scalp is people are buying them at these prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
When do we, as a group of people, fellow collectors or gamers, say, you know what? I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to promote scalping. I'm going to hold them to having this console and not being able to sell it, and forcing them to come down in price.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think we've already seen that a little bit with, I think we talked about it in part two, that people sending scalpers to meet each other and no one's there with money to buy. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, some of the middlemen retailers even using tactics to trick bots and their owners into paying egregious prices for things that don't have value or don't have the value that the scalpers think they'll be able to get on the aftermarket.
Yeah, I think we're just waiting on some sort of better solution here. Anyways, yeah, I think that was an interesting discussion, you know, unless you guys got anything else to say about it.
I hope it's fixed sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think some sort of anti-bot software or something. Like, people need to get on that. Retailers need to help out more. I think I've been saying it the last couple times that I think that's more the solution. And it's just a matter of, can we get that going? Cool. Yeah, that concludes our cross-examination segment, guys. If you have any thoughts yourselves, hit up our Gmail, psboxcast@gmail.com, if you want to add to the conversation here. But aside from that, let's move into fast-fire news. Pat, if you want to take that one away.
And here we go. For listeners old and new, our Fast Fire News segment is our weekly news segment where we deliver the news to you faster than bank robber Tommy Lillard, played by Harrison Ford, can get his friend Rabbi Avram Belinsky to San Francisco in the 1979 Western comedy The Frisco Kid. First off,
get over here!
Finish him.
Because hot off our top video game movie cross-examination last week, we got a new Mortal Kombat movie trailer. Check out the trailer on YouTube now, heavily featuring characters Sub-Zero and Cyborg. The trailer is absolutely stacked with characters. I easily saw 15 or so. Too many to be named here. The movie is set for release in theaters and streaming on HBO Max on April 16th. So keep an eye out for the Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, that one looks sick. I saw the part where he I think snaps off his arm and then like catches his blood and like freezes it, you know, and then he like stabs him with the blood. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch that movie for the fatalities.
It's going to be bloodier than John Wick 3. Cool. Easy.
Easy peasy. So we also got in the news, from the mind of Metal Gear creator comes the creative gene, Hideo Kojima, but it's not a game. So yeah, Hideo Kojima, creative storytelling mastermind, is publishing a book about his creative process. Look out for the creative gene this fall, and maybe we can get half an ounce of insight or explanation for Death Stranding and Metal Gear.
I'm super excited about this book. I don't know about you guys.
This is the first time hearing about it.
I want to know how this guy comes up with his ideas, though. Like, his concepts are so out there. And his ideas are so out there.
Yeah, this book actually sounds really interesting. Like, I don't read, but this book may, like, lead me to learn how to.
How to read?
No, I think anyone who's creative, cool. It would help their process.
Yeah, cool. A
few weeks back, we mentioned the formation of Boka Game Studio. That's B-O-K-E-H. From the developers of Silent Hill and Gravity Rush, a game I very much love. Boka Game Studios' first game has just been announced and will be a horror title named Focus. And it's pretty cool, actually. The developers are being super open and informative about the development of the game, at least for now. And this is something we rarely see from a developer. Information on the game in any pre-production phase or early production phase. And it's very contradictory to the movie and music industry where projects are announced before they begin. But I think it might be worth checking out for anybody interested in game development. And check out Boka Game Studios' YouTube, and hopefully they'll keep giving us some cool insight into the development of their game and game development in general.
Awesome. And then the most wanted remake of the last decade has been announced. Diablo 2 Resurrected. Blizzard Entertainment and Vicarious Visions remake will be out on all three console platforms and PC, supposedly, later this year. That's pretty cool. I never got into the Diablo games. Matt, you and I were into StarCraft. Yep. A lot.
Ooh,
the OG Blizzard era. But I think my cousin played a lot of the Diablo. But I never played it. Never got into it. But cool. That's exciting for everyone who's interested.
I was a big Total War and a big Command and Conquer guy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think the other one I played was, what was it? Age of Empires?
Classics.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
I think they're coming out with a new one. And they just came out with Age of Empires 2 or 3 or... remastered. They did a remaster as well of their older games, and it's on Xbox. Like, Xbox touts that as like one of their quote unquote exclusives.
That's sweet.
I'd play that.
I definitely want to go back to it.
Good stuff, boys. Let's keep moving it on.
Boys.
Bungie has started construction on a studio expansion to more than double the size of their headquarters in Bellevue, Washington. The company plans to expand the Destiny universe with new games, allowed only through their explicit ownership of the Destiny IP after they split from Activision in February 2019. So it's nice to see that Destiny just didn't die when the two companies split. And Bungie also hopes to release at least one new IP or series before 2025.
That's dope.
So I heard that when Bungie was looking to like add this expansion onto their studio, that the architects called it a DLC and charged like ridiculous amount.
Savage. You had us going. That was good.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited for something new from Bungie. It's been, I don't know if they're the same studio from when they started Destiny, ended Halo, but I mean, I'll take something new.
Yeah.
All right. So, and finally, we have a headline that says Little Nightmares is done. Little Nightmares? Man, they just came out with the second one. Anywho.
Just like 2 weeks ago.
Little Nightmares developer Tarsier Studios CEO Lars Wingfors, hope I am not butchering that name, has announced the studio, quote, will from now on focus on creating new IPs. And, that's pretty interesting, because I feel like usually when you do a game series, you do a trilogy. If it's successful, maybe they will do it down the line. I know that we talked about last week, Pat, with Atkin, that the Little Nightmares is doing a TV series, so maybe they'll focus on kind of just expanding the franchise, like the transmedia, all that stuff, and then maybe if it gets popular enough, they come back and do a third game. But I'm excited either way if they made a new Little Nightmares 3 or if they make a new IP, because what they've made so far is like really compelling. So,
do you think we'll see Little Nightmares 3 with the supposed animated show or movie?
Yeah, maybe it'll like, you know, expand the universe a bit more, and then they can do a lot more with the third one, you know? Because in between the first one and the second one, there wasn't a lot of outside stuff. There's not like a lot for it to breathe and kind of get a feel for the world. So yeah, maybe they're just letting that one sit for a bit so people can miss it again.
For sure. Well,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they'll move on to a bigger and better IP.
We'll see. Cool. Yeah, and that concludes Fast Fire News. So that's all the major headlines for the week.
Cool stuff.
yeah, we did. Let's do a rotating segment real quick. It's not really rotating because we did it last week, but since we have another guest on, that's our friend, and we posed the question to Atkin, we might as well do the same for Matt. So this is our free fire fact finder, where we find a fact about our friends
and family
that we don't know, and family. So let's think of a question for Matt.
Should we just start out with the same one from last week and maybe brainstorm a better one? I'll start with last week's question.
I didn't listen to last week's yet.
Oh, you son of a gun. Okay. Pat was asking, what would be your dream, like, you know how Fortnite does their, like, concerts and stuff, like their digital events? Yeah. Like, what would be your dream, whatever, artist to perform in your favorite game?
Pick a game and pick an artist.
Katy Perry and Post Malone are already doing Pokemon this year, so it's like,
oh, they are?
No, they are, but I think Post Malone had his concert like this weekend. That's not my dream by any means.
Imagine Dragons.
Oof. Nah. I don't know. That's a tricky one because, like,
I said last week, Matt, you bringing up Katy Perry, I said last week that they should have a female artist and bring in more female gamers, possibly.
You know, something they did that was really cool, actually.
Let's be honest. There's a bunch of horny little boys that want to see a lady perform.
I'm changing my answer from last week. I want to see Maroon 5 play in Doom. It's like, play in hell. Like, just give a stellar performance.
Something that I liked was, I always loved Kingdom Hearts music, and they did, like, Skrillex. Was like, he had his version of his song in number 3, but maybe Pokemon with, I don't know, something with One Republic. I've seen a couple, like, music video AMV type things with One Republic and Pokemon, and I kind of, like, made one of my own a couple years ago.
Nice.
Man, it gets the tears. You get the right song with, like, the right, like, throwback, like, scenes and cutaways. Man, you'll get me a cry.
You get a tear out of Matt here.
One Republic has had some crazy solid tracks. I'll give you that.
I love One Republic.
Cool.
Good answer.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. And on that note, Pat, I think that'll close out this week's episode.
I think so. You want to close it out?
Let's close it out. That's it, guys. We've been your hosts, David, SD Dog, and
PlayStation Pat Fennel.
And
Matthew Rottenberg, Lonely Cubone.
Oh, he said his full name. Go find him, guys. Green versus Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple Music, or your favorite podcast service. And we're even over there on YouTube in some capacity.
Quick, Matt, what's your social security number, too?
Yeah.
So it is. Ah, you almost got me.
Head over to Patreon and check it out if you want to support us. If not, that's fine too. Patreon.com/green versus blue. That's patreon.com/green vs blue. That's how that's spelled. And again, you can find our individual socials directly at
YouTube, Twitch, Variety Pat, or Instagram, PlayStation Pat. Hit me up.
Go check out my buddy Pat and go hit up my gamertag or hit up my YouTube at SDDawg. That's S-D-D-A-W-G. And you can find our guest host, Matt, over at
Instagram, Lonely Cubone. I guess you could find me on actually Xbox as well as Lonely Cubone 104.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Very exclusive.
All right. And remember, guys, if you have a burning question, comment about today's show, if you have anything else to say about the podcast, hit up our Gmail at psboxcast@gmail.com. That's psboxcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.